Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I have been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. This show is about learning from the mistakes of others, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I've got the 7 top mistakes that contractors make when it comes to marketing. And we're going to get into that today with David Chisholm. David's an expert when it comes to marketing, and he has a marketing firm called A. David Creation, where he helps all types of contractors get more leads and grow their businesses. He grew up in a family painting business. When business slowed down a bit, they brought him in from the field to take over their marketing. After growing the family business, he went out and started his own firm. I followed David for the past couple of years. I get his newsletter, which has some great material. When it comes to marketing for contractors, he really knows his stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting into it and finding out what these 7 mistakes are. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, Ruby Receptionists. As most of you know, and I've talked about, I have a coaching program for smaller to mid-sized roofing contractors where I help them grow their business. And so many of them come to me where they don't have anybody answering the phone. They're just rolling over prospects' calls into voicemail. And they are not going to leave a message. They're going to go to your competitor until they find someone where they can talk to somebody live that's going to answer the questions that they have. And one of the first things that I do with my contractors is get them hooked up with Ruby. So they've got somebody that's answering that call, first or second ring, in a friendly, professional voice. They can answer questions that prospects may have. And most importantly, they are going to leave a great first impression. And that is what goes so far into teeing up the sale. It's that first contact that your prospects have with your company. And that's where Ruby does such a great job. Rather than me telling you the story about Ruby, I'd like you to go to their website at callruby.com/roofershow and check it out. They've got a great video on there that explains the program. And what I would recommend is you go to the button that says take us for a test drive or try us out. And what they'll do is they'll set you up with a phone number and a greeting, and you can call that number. And within the, you can do that for 1 hour. You can test out the service, see how they answer the phone, what they do, and what they're all about. And if you think it's right for you, you can use the promo code ROOFER50 and they'll knock off $50 off your first service. But I have a lot of contractors that I work with that use them. It's improved their business. I know it's getting them more leads because you're spending a lot of money to get that phone to ring. And if you're not answering it professionally, you're going to lose that business and waste that money. So check them out. They got a great service. Okay, now let's get into our interview with David Chisholm. Hey, David, thanks for coming on to the show today.
Thanks, Dave, for having me.
Hey, I've been a subscriber to your newsletter for a while now, and you got some really good stuff there. I always learn something from it. But I heard you on Tom Reber's podcast recently, The Contractor Fight. You talked about the top mistakes that contractors make when it comes to their marketing. And I wanted to get into that today if we could.
Sure. Be happy to talk about that.
Yeah, I had Tom on the show here on episode 22, and we had a great conversation about sales. But before we get into the mistakes that contractors make, I wanted to get a little more about your story and how you got into marketing, because originally you were in construction, from what I understand.
Well, I come from a long line of painting contractors in my blood. So from what I hear, my grandfather was a painting contractor. back in the day, out in San Diego, and then his great-grandfather before that. So we kind of have about five generations of painting in our blood. So I was kind of stuck, if you will. That was kind of how I got started in the painting industry. So I prepped and painted and all that through junior high and high school, and then was hoping not to get into painting. That was my goal, is to not get into construction because I was more of a prep guy. So my dad had me do all sorts of hard labor early on. Didn't get a lot of painting experience. So, but long story short, I did work in the field and get some painting experience at some point after high school. And then he asked me to come on in as more of to learn estimating, learn how to sell. So I got my first start working in the business as an estimator. And then alongside of that was helping with the marketing. My dad at the time with his company and his brother, they obviously had a good brand in San Diego, but they didn't have anyone to manage the marketing. They kind of, some of the things, they probably made a lot of the mistakes that we'll talk about today, but it was kind of hit or miss. And so he wanted more consistency. And he said, hey, that'll be one of your jobs, is to kind of learn more about marketing. And I had always been more of that creative guy. I've always liked the graphic side of things, and marketing was always, I talked about it since I was a little kid, always doing design projects and things. So it was something I was interested in. So when he approached me about that, I said, sure, I'll do estimating, learn how to do that. Did that for close to a decade. And alongside of that, I was kind of his marketing manager. So that's how I got into my first part of marketing, hiring marketing consultants, marketing people coming in the business, doing good things, bad things, kind of learn from some really good ones. And when I started my business, we can talk about that later and how I got started, but I decided to focus primarily on the painting industry because that's where I had the most experience. Since then, I've worked with other trades as well, home improvement, roofing contractors as well, and it's fairly similar. So that's kind of how I got my start.
Okay. Now, on the personal side, I was looking at your website a little bit. You're into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I understand.
I am, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was. I did a lot of shore and roo back in the day, but yep. It's been a long time since I could do the split. So it's more of a young man's game here.
Yeah, it's a great sport. I mean, that's actually helped me in my business too. Just I played sports through high school, college, but so I played a lot of basketball. It's more non-contact sports, and I did not like the idea of people touching me. So when I picked up Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, that's a whole other story how I got into that. But I've been it's almost 3 years into it, and I'm hoping to be long haul, kind of go all the way. But what it's helped me be more focused on my job. It's really more of a disciplined sport too. So you get beat up a lot, you get thrown around on the mat. It's a humbling sport. So as a business owner, you go there, get humbled, come back. I'm more focused, more disciplined in my business and making decisions from that kind of sport. So sure. It's been a great sport to get into.
Great. Well, let's talk about marketing now.
Sure.
Specifically, there's mistakes that contractors make. I know that I've probably made most of these things. You've got a list of the top seven mistakes that you see most of the time in your business. So how about if we get into those?
Yeah, sure. We'll start at the top. So number one that I put together, I mean, there's a lot, so we just narrowed it down to seven for today, is not having a marketing plan or budget. So normally what I hear people say, guys either I started working with or even don't, is they'll say, hey, let's do some marketing. Time to do some marketing. Let's do it. And so that's not the best way to – normally when that happens, there's still no plan or budget in place. They just doing marketing is something they it's kind of here and now. Let's try it now. So that's I would say is the first issue there. And then also when they're slow, like the slow seasons, they might pick that up. And when they're busy, they stop doing the marketing. So not having a budget or plan is a big one.
Yeah, I know. Once things get slow, that's when everybody thinks that they can turn it on and off. Where I think it's really something that you've got to keep doing it on a consistent basis, because it takes a long time before it really starts showing up and actually paying for itself, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I'd also say that along with that is contractors should always be marketing. That's kind of one of the things I talk about, quality brand out there or no yard signs. So that plan and budget is really important to the longevity of your business.
And I think also you've got to know your numbers. You've got to track all of these things. And I know that, you know, a lead costs so much money. You've got to understand how much that lead costs. Talk about, you know, closing rates, job size, just really understanding your numbers. And if you don't understand your numbers, which most contractors don't, you're just going to waste a lot of money.
That's correct. That's actually number two, as I kind of put down, not tracking. Well, no, it goes right along with that. It's not tracking leads and knowing your leads.
Yeah, I think that's huge because it goes throughout the business where so many contractors really don't understand their numbers all the way through. It's not only marketing.
Number three is purchasing a CRM and not using it.
I know all about that. we've made a lot of mistakes in that area. We started off with using Goldmine many years ago. And I remember bringing in a consultant. We spent so much money on this thing. We really didn't know what we were looking for. And then I think the important part was that we just never got the buy-in from our people. So we couldn't get the good information in there, so we couldn't get any information out.
Yeah, I see that a lot. Goldmine was one of the originals, then Act 2000 was a big one, and then right along that came Salesforce. So those are three big players. Some of them are not around anymore, but just what you said, I think sometimes business owners can be so analytical and want things so perfect that they'll spend the money and time to build a CRM the way they want it, and then they don't use it. So they'll hire the consultants. I mean, we did that. I think the first one we used was Act. Right, it was kind of a competitive gold mine, I think. And same thing, hired a consultant. They came in and did a bunch of things, you know, all sorts of questions that it's so hard to get all that through on a phone call with a prospect. But they had so many cool things to ask, and then the buy-in was the big issue, and then you just use the basic features. And so that's why I actually will recommend more of a CRM that's it's easier to use. So we'll kind of go in that a little later if you want me to recommend a few. But just I want kind of roofers just use something. As long as it's trackable, you can track the source of the lead and put the basic information. That's better than nothing because it's going to help your marketing down the road.
Exactly. And I think simplicity is important because after we screwed up using Goldmine, we went to Salesforce. And that,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that is just really complicated to use. There's just so much information. But it sounded great. We got sold a bill of goods rather than just something that's just keep it really simple, but you've got to have something to start out with.
Yeah, so for that, that would be my I have guys that use Salesforce today, but they probably only use, I would say, 30% of the features, you know, on there, and they're paying a lot of money for it. So it's a valuable tool, and especially estimators. You know how a really good estimator typically is not one who's good at using a CRM because they're just out there selling. So it's hard for them to plug in this data, but it's that data that you use to get more leads, more sales down the road.
And they've got to see the benefits of it because it's what's in it for the salesman, because there's a lot. They're going to sell more. They're going to make more commissions. Everybody benefits. But you have to make sure that you get that buy-in.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. And then we've got number four.
So number four is a little bit of piggyback on some of the others here, but I said not staying in touch with your customers. So you're relying on new leads only. So you don't do the nurturing.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, where you're looking at the numbers, there's only maybe out of 10, two or three prospects that are actually going to buy. The rest of them are going to think about it. It may take some time. I think contractors are so guilty of just throwing a number out there. They'll call me when they're ready. And it's not like that. You've got to follow up. You've got to stay in touch with these people. And it's a lot more than, hey, yeah, I followed up. I left a message and said, is there anything else I can do for you? That's not following up. But really staying on top of that. You spend so much money paying for these leads originally, and if you're not following up and nurturing the leads, as you say, you're just wasting your money. But everybody's always interested, I need more leads. And you're right. They're concentrating on those new ones, spending more money rather than with those numbers that you've already got out there.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing you mentioned is 30% of the leads coming in, you're going to sell just because you showed up. You know, the other 30%, you're not going to sell no matter what you do. But that other 30%+, that's what you want to work hard on, nurturing, staying in touch, follow up. That's where the CRM is handy as well. And just, you know, you being a good salesperson, it's all important. But to even on that, just not staying in touch with your customers, it's that's more the prospecting, but not staying in touch with your past clients too is kind of related to that. You rely on the new leads. You just want that phone to ring, but you haven't connected back with the folks that already hired you. So when the times get slow, you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do? So it is important to not only nurture the leads coming in and the prospects, but also to go back and make sure that your clients are happy with your service and you're staying in touch with them, you know, sending them emails and follow-ups and popping in. So it's all important.
Following up with those existing customers, because they've got a lifetime value, they're also going to refer you to other customers, and making sure that you're top of mind, you can do that with a good CRM program.
You can, and one thing I have seen with the smaller companies, even with roofers too that I know, they're kind of afraid to not reach back out to their clients. So they're thinking, well, I've already re-roofed their home, I've already done my service, and they don't want to hear from me. But I think just the contrary, that's just head trash, that people do want to stay in touch. So years ago, I remember going out to, I had a marketing person tell me to do this. So they said, meet with your top five clients face-to-face and ask them key marketing questions or what they liked about you and all that. So I sat down with, you know, top five clients, and one of them said, well, I don't really hear from you all that often after the sale. And I said, well, I didn't think you wanted to. I mean, we've already done the business. And they said, well, we get mailers from your competitors all the time. We hear from other guys all the time, but we don't hear from you. And so from that day on, I was like, well, there's nothing wrong with sending mailers, making courtesy calls, dropping by when you're in the area. So don't be afraid to connect with these customers. If you did a good job for them, then, and they like you, then there's nothing wrong with staying in touch.
They're not just going to find you when they need you. And that's where, you know, half the time they don't even remember who they dealt with. So
exactly.
You've got to keep top of mind.
Yeah, everyone thinks that they'll remember your company name, and there's a few that will, but most won't. You're like, who was that plumber I used? That roofer?
Exactly.
They did a good job. I can't remember their name.
I had a problem with my garage door. I've used this guy for years. I could not find his name. I loved the guy. He was great.
Yeah.
But he never kept in touch, so I had to go find somebody else.
Yeah, that's a shame, but that's pretty common. That's a mistake.
All right, well, let's jump into number five.
Yeah, so I have down a lack of consistency in the marketing. So that's the start-stop approach.
Yeah, and that's the marketing is a constant thing where you've got to be marketing all the time. You just don't turn it on and off when you need leads, because it takes time to build.
It does, and you know, I think one of the things I've seen even this year, this has been a good year for most of my clients in terms of leads. There hasn't been a lack of leads coming through, and in fact, the issue has been more hiring, you know, qualified guys to train to do that type of work. So hiring has been an issue. But what most guys want to do is, okay, well, I'm so busy, my phone's ringing off the hook, I need to stop marketing. And I think you need to look at that prospecting needs to be continuing all year long, especially because, you know, depending on where you live in the country, you're going to have your rainy season, you're going to have your cold season. The Northeast, the Midwest obviously get hit harder with that. Every year, they have to go indoors. They can't paint outside. They can't roof unless it's a halfway decent day. So they have to kind of be creative on their marketing, their prospecting, and they have to start in advance. So if you're that busy, you need to kind of change your approach. Okay, I'm not looking for leads right now, but I got to start looking for leads 3 or 4 months down the road.
Right.
And that's why that consistency in marketing or branding, maybe you can turn off some of that Home Advisor stuff or, you know, some of those lead generation sites. You can turn those down, but your branding and your connection for leads down the road needs to continue. And that's what most guys don't do. They just stop everything.
Now, in our area, we're coming into the fall, and we got a ton of work out here. There's two problems that I see. First is the contractors are just buried with too much work, and they've got a 3 or 4 month backlog. And then they brag about this. Well, that's a mistake, because most of them took these jobs back when things were more competitive, and they loaded up on this cheap work. The smart contractors, you know, they could see that you've got a huge labor shortage. You're not going to be able to expand your capacity. So they raised their prices and got more selective, and they were able to cherry pick the good jobs. And now that the competition was all backed up, they were in the driver's seat. And the second problem I see is the contractors get real cocky, you know, with all this work. Not only do they stop their marketing, but some of them don't even answer the phone. And it's crazy. In California, we work between storms, and then we catch up in early spring, and then the work really just drops off. I think everybody goes to the beach, and nobody thinks about their roofs. So it's hard to sell work until you really get into the late summer, you know, when the famine is over and it's time to feast again. What we did was keep up our marketing. We continued to build our brand, and we would spend time with prospects who would tell us we were only one of the few contractors that even responded, let alone show up. We would tell them to give us a contract now, and we could service their roof through the winter, keep them dry, and in the late spring, when we were slow, we would do their job at a more competitive price. We would have a consistent lead and workflow, and our competitors were scrambling because they turned off the machine and we increased ours.
You don't want to turn away work. I have a really hard time as a marketer turning away work. So I always like to try to find, hey, if you need to hire just some folks that return calls and do that basic stuff like the tarping and touching up of homes and saying, hey, can you wait a few months? We'll give you a good price when we're slower, that kind of thing. So that's, I would say that's an important thing to do, is just to make sure that you're always marketing, you're always serving. And one downside to this, when you get that busy and the consistency of marketing stops, is that's when I see the negativity begin to happen. So what I mean by that is, we'll talk more about reviews later, but when you get that busy and you can't service them, people get upset these days a lot more than they used to. Right. Or if they used to get upset, they used to not be able to really talk maybe to their neighbor. Now they go on to Yelp and Google and Facebook and tell the world how terrible you were just because you couldn't answer the phone or wouldn't service them because you're too busy. So that's another thing to consider, that you got to be consistent in how you respond to these folks and treat them carefully.
Also, I mean, we're booming now, but hey, we're in the construction business. It is going to drop off again. This is not going to go on forever.
Right.
All right, so let's jump into number six.
So number six is no brand awareness. Does that sound pretty typical for roofing contractors?
You bet.
My neighbor next door was having his roof done a few months ago, and I watched him. I think it took him 3-4 days, so it took a little longer than normal. I think typical roofs in my neighborhood are like a 1-2 day process max. They're there several days doing the tear off and all that. But when they got done, I asked my neighbor, after I put the new shingles on, I asked him about the kind of, there was no branded vehicles, there was no yard signs, there was no shirts that had the lettering on it. I had no idea who the guys were. It seemed like they were doing a good job. It took them a while. Why would you do that? Why would you go and do a job like that? And they were professionals, you know, they were roofing contractors, but they had no brand awareness. That's just one example, and I see that pretty often. I think the next thing I see is that those who do have some branding hire subcontractors. It's pretty common to have subs do maybe the actual roofing side of things. And even those guys, there's not a consistency in their branding. They're not showing up with lettered vehicles, yard signs. There's no flyering going on. There's nothing going on in the community. So they just rely again on that lead generation stuff. And people don't know who they are.
And also, there's no differentiation between contractors. And without branding and showing prospects how you're different, you're just a commodity. Every roof's a roof. So you're not going to be able to sell those jobs and to add additional value and get your price. You're just going to be one of 3 or 4 guys that's out there. And why wouldn't they take the low bid? They see no reason not to.
Yep. So if you can, I would almost call it neighborhood domination. If you do a job really well and you make sure you've got the branding there, that's the logo and all that, and you do a good job and you ask for referrals and you get online reviews, you got to kind of keep that going. You got to do the social media and have a nice website and kind of work that plan that we talked about in the beginning. Otherwise, you're going to look like everybody else. There's no differentiating. And sometimes it's not as hard as people think. It may just be that guy showing up to, you know, the Little League thing. They have a banner up there. If there's a issue in the neighborhood, that these guys take care of it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to create a good brand. It doesn't just mean having flashy looking shirts and all that, but it's are you interested in that neighborhood you want to take over, and can people remember your company?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that expensive. It just has to be consistent. Yeah, and just doing the same thing every day, having your job signs out there, having trucks with your logos that stand out, that are clean and professional looking. That's why we always had the uniforms and the hats and clean and names on the shirts. It was just part of the branding where we are professional, we're clean, we clean up after ourselves, and people remember our name.
Yeah, there was a landscape company in my neighborhood that they were known, so going back to the branding, they were known for being inexpensive. So that was kind of what they went. Their marketing plan is to be a low cost, blow and go lawn care service, and they had big machines to do it pretty fast and all that. So I know they made profits and all that, but they had bright shirts. Everyone that worked for them wore a very bright, greenish yellow shirt. So that was one way that if you saw them in your neighborhood, over time you're going to notice, oh, that's that one company. And their trucks were kind of bright looking, but they also had your first mow is $20, I think it was, or $25. So most in that neighborhood, these are probably, you know, quarter to half acre lots. Totally different than mowing on the West Coast in California, tiny little lots or no grass. But on the East Coast, there's grass everywhere. And so these guys would come out, and it was on their – everywhere they went, it was basically like, your first mow is $25. That was differentiating because nobody offers that. And they wanted to make sure they did a good job mowing, because mowing is obviously – it's a contract for the season, and they want to win it back. So they did a decent job. They weren't as – meticulous as some of the others out there, but at the end of the day, most folks didn't care, and they did a lot of homes in my neighborhood because of the intro cost. Everything was consistent, and that's kind of how they didn't cost much. That was people cared about the numbers.
Well, you can be a low cost producer and still make money, but you've got to be out there branding, and like you say, people know who you are.
I know a roofer. I don't work for him, but there's a roofer in my area who is probably the most well-known roofer in my city, and he's very cheap. So he does a good job. And I have no idea if he makes money or not. And when I actually talked to one of his employees about that, he said, I have no idea what the owner makes. He probably doesn't make all that much. He's not in it for the money. But everyone in town seems to know this one company, and I've followed them. And they have an ugly logo, but all their trucks are lettered, and their guys have shirts, so they've done some things right. But he comes in as the low-bid roofing guy and does a good job. But I think he probably could be making more money and all that. But he's done the branding, and he's done the customer care. His issue now, obviously, is he's getting so busy, I think because he's so inexpensive, that he can't keep up so on the demand. So there's an issue there.
There's a guy that should double his prices, because exactly. Now if he's not doing it for the profit, I don't know if I'd be doing this business for the fun of it, because it's a lot of work. But once you got the brand out there, I mean, that's
he's in the perfect situation to raise his prices. Exactly. And that's what I told his employees, like, man, so many people respect him and like him. He's got a good brand. If he bumped his prices up 25%, he would still sell probably less work, but not that much less, because people like him. Roofing around here, our areas, you know, a typical roof, I think, is, you know, $10,000 roughly. People are just used to that. They know if he comes in at 9, if he bumps it up to 10, he'll still get it.
Yeah, I mean, why not do half the work and make twice the money?
That's right.
It's crazy. All right, well, let's wrap it up with number 7.
Yep, so this is a fun one. It's the try this, try that type of marketing. The shiny lure, and you give up too easily. So if something doesn't work, you stop, right? We've seen that a lot in home improvement.
Yep, definitely. And I think they're trying all these different things. One, they never give time to let it work, because whether it's, say, direct mail or whatever, it takes, 7 touches before somebody's going to remember you. Mm-hmm. And it's staying consistent and giving things a try, and you have to make that commitment to make things work no matter what they are.
That's true. So I see that happen a lot with all the home improvement industry, really, is that they don't give it time and to make it work. And that goes back to the first one we talked about, that plan and budget. So make sure you have a plan, you've got money to spend on marketing. But then this one here is, don't do this whole try this, try that, because it's going to fail. And good examples is, I've had guys that say, hey, I just signed up for Howl's or Angie's List or Yelp or whatever. I signed a 12-month contract, or maybe had a mailing company come in and say, hey, we're going to do 20,000 mailers for a couple $1,000. You're like, yeah, just do it. And you're hoping, you've heard, you know, rumors that these all work, and so you try it. I didn't get phone calls back from the mailers. I got a couple, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, if you went to a community that no one knew you and you put 20,000 mailers out there that once, that's not going to work.
Right.
Same with house. I mean, there are some benefits on house, but if you just signed up for an annual contract and say, yeah, put me on house, you got zero reviews, you got zero presence, you're not going to be successful in there, and you're going to, I wish I didn't sign up for that.
Don't chase the shiny object.
No, don't. Please don't. And the guys that I see crushing it out there are the ones that are consistent. There's no silver bullet, too. I think a lot of guys are asking, hey, what's working right now? What's that one thing that is going to make my business that successful? There's nothing out there that will do that, is my response. But are you consistent? And I've seen guys that I started working with that had there's one contract I worked with. He had about 25 to 30 leads a month. And now he's over 100 leads a month, and he's probably the most profitable guy, one of the most profitable guys I work with. When I first started working with him, he didn't really do all that much. He tried this, tried that. And once we got on a little plan and he had a budget and he just stayed the course, we're doing some traditional stuff too that some guys would say, I'm not doing that. And that was mailers, direct mail, door hangers, kind of some things that have been out, even Yellow Pages. But he's real consistent at his marketing and his quality and his getting the reviews that all of a sudden, took about a year and a half. He had the money banked for it and ready for it. He's crushing it. It takes time.
Well, that's why I think it comes full circle back to the first mistake we were talking about, which is not having a plan, not knowing your numbers, not knowing what you're trying to do. And it just basically comes down to spray and pray. You're just throwing things out there, seeing what's going to stick on the wall rather than coming up with a plan. And that's why I think it's critical that contractors work with a professional like yourself.
Well, that's why I'm in business. I think I obviously have decided not to work with just one company. I could go work for a large firm and just be their marketing guy, but I tried to make myself affordable, for the contractors so that they're not going to spend. I've really had people spend thousands of dollars on things that don't work. So what they would pay me for that year, I'd probably make sure that doesn't happen and make sure it's more consistent. So I try to pay for myself if I can by making sure they make better decisions on these marketing things and stay consistent.
Well, along those lines, I'm going to throw in a bonus mistake that people make that I see all the time. And this is about paid search, because I see so many contractors getting ripped off, whether it's SEO or pay-per-click. Can you tell us a little about that, what you see, where the mistakes are made, what might be working? Because I think this is something that's you really got to be doing. Also, I think it takes a real professional. This is not something you want to be doing by yourself, because you're just going to throw a lot of money away.
Yeah, totally. Paid search, that's the Google AdWords, has made it popular. Google's the number one at that, and they just call it Google AdWords. Microsoft has one. Microsoft owns Bing and Yahoo, so they have their own advertising campaign. So that's when someone's searching, roof replacement in their market, usually those top ads at the very top and on the side. And at some point, it may be in the actual map program, you'll see some of that come up. People click on an ad, and they're going to go to your website. And so you're paying anytime someone clicks to go through. That's the AdWords, that's the pay-per-click. So I would say it's not a DIY platform. That's something that you want someone more professional who has experience in your industry or in the home improvement industry. You probably get emails, phone calls, if not daily, at least weekly, people saying a couple things. One, we can get you to the top of Google, or two, we'll handle your paid search. And then come to find out, Yellow Pages, Better Business Bureau, there's a lot of companies coming out now that offer that service as well. Especially, I have a roofer that reached out and said, hey, check out the Yellow Page rep, or the Better Business Bureau, and I talked to them, and they're doing all that stuff. Hey, we're going to do the AdWords for you. We're going to do all that paid search. You won't have to do any of that anymore. It's more challenging than that. So what I recommend is something that is worth doing for roofers if you're specific on what it is you want. If you want to focus on roof repairs, it's fairly easy to do that with the right guy doing it. Maybe if you're doing skylights, I've seen it work pretty well for skylights. If you want to go down the house and do siding and decks and all that, there's some value there. Roof replacements, it can work. It seems to work best for like those repairs, skylights. You'll also get some folks, obviously, that want to do actual replacements as well. But there's, you got to be careful on who you hire. They've got to have experience. And there's also two types of paid search folks out there that manage and do it. You'll get some that it looks cheap, it looks inexpensive, and they'll say, hey, we'll run it for you, and based on what you're paying, let's say Google, maybe it's $500 a month or something, we're just going to charge you 10 or 15%. So we'll only make, you know, $50 or $75. We'll manage it for you. The problem with that is that, you know, they're only making $50 to $75 to manage your campaign. And what does that say in my mind? For the entire month, they're only going to make $75 to manage that. It's not enough money. Because you want to, it's Google AdWords is not, you can't just turn it on and let it work. There's, you have to kind of monitor. There's, could be call tracking. You want to track these leads. You want to make sure that the forms are correct and they're coming into your inbox. You want to know where they came from. There's always changes to make. I can go in, I can have a whole podcast on paid search, so I'll keep it brief here. But the second thing is that then there's guys who would charge a flat rate. They have a management fee. It's typically more expensive. And that's better for companies that want to grow. So if you may start, you might look expensive at the beginning, but I think you'll see that it does work. And then you can say, hey, this is working. Can you increase? I've got more money to spend on this. I'm getting some leads. And so, you know, if you increase your spend on Google or Bing or whatever, your management guy doesn't change. His price remains the same. So that's where I have tried the other approach back when I first started. Got some results, but they weren't managing the campaigns well enough at the small office. You gotta get a professional that knows what they're doing and do it right.
Yeah, I think you can lose a lot of money there real quick. So you got to have a professional that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, on that, there's a lot of things you can do yourself, and we can talk about that. But AdWords is not one that you want to try yourself.
Well, before we wrap up, I just want to touch on social. Now, what can you tell us about that? What should we be doing, and what are some of the mistakes that you're seeing besides not using social?
Well, I think that most contractors should either. Kind of say it this way: either don't be on social, you know, don't start it, or if you're going to do it, you really got to get into it. So don't kind of dabble in it. So I think you're almost safe if you're not doing it now and you don't want to, then just kind of. There are some things you'll have to do, like the reviews and all that. But once you start, you got to maintain. So Facebook is still a viable option for roofers, and Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. Spending some time on there, you just got to be careful that you're not trying to sell your services. It's more of a social network, and it's a place to, you know, post some photos of the types of roofs you're doing, maybe the skylights you've installed, whether they're the colors or the types of roof, or maybe a complex roof. So there's a lot of things you got to be creative when it comes to that. But if you can post those kind of things on social media and be consistent at it, that's what helps your brand. People are going to start to get to know your name, and you're also not just out there saying, hey, you know, you ready for your roof now? Yeah, that kind of thing. So you want to be making sure that's consistent. That means quality photos, quality videos, and not just going to, you know, a stock site and sticking I see this all the time, is getting stock images or just plucking things from different articles and saying, oh, this looks good, I'm going to post this. It should be personal. It should be real. It should be about your company.
I agree, because putting professional, good-looking photos of you and your crews out there are really important in building trust, because getting out there, people in roofing are so worried that you're going to be dirty. They come up with the beat-up trucks, where you can show yourself telling your story about your company, how clean your crews are, how your setup is. That's going to go a long ways, and putting up these stock photos, what's that do for you?
Yeah, it probably worked a few years ago for a little while, but now everyone's doing it. So the personal approach to social media hasn't really changed, and that's just making connections. It's not always talking about yourself. So some of it is not just posting, but it's connecting with other people. That might just be getting involved in your community and doing more community events, those kind of things. And so depends on what size outfit you are, but I do have some contractors that have charity events every year, and they use social media to push that. Maybe they look for people in need that they can do a free paint job or new roof or something like that, and they'll ask for nominations, and they'll vote, and they'll push it out to the social networks, and then the project, they might do a Facebook Live there. So there's a lot of things you can do. If people feel like they're being sold, then they're gonna unfollow you. They're gonna unfriend you. So you got to keep it real good. Keep it personal.
People love to buy, but they hate to be sold to.
That's right. Never changed.
Well, I think the big takeaway that I've gotten out of this, and what most contractors should, is that marketing has really changed, and you've got to stay up with the times, hire a professional that knows what's going on, educate yourself, because you got to stay on top of all these new changes that are going on, don't you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, obviously, there's things that I think marketing, if you hire a marketing professional like myself or someone else like me, you guys still have to do a lot as well. So it's always a two-way thing. You can't hire any marketing company, an agency, or anything to do it for you. And I have experienced that where they feel like, oh, I'm going to hire a firm to do that for me. There's still the old school approach of you know, your guys out in the field doing a good job, looking professional, doing a great, you know, when they finish, they follow up and they maintain that client. So there's all those things haven't changed. And then you got to communicate that back to your marketing team, who's ever writing those email blasts for you or sending out mailers or whatever. So and then getting those pictures and photos, making sure that gets to the right people. You don't have to do it all yourself, but they got to work together.
Well, David, that's some awesome information. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your company and how we can get in touch with you?
So, yeah, the name of my company, again, is A. David Creation. And I, again, help roofing contractors, painting contractors, home improvement guys be consistent in their marketing, making sure they make wise decisions on marketing. And then I help implement the things we come up with, like the plan. So we usually do an annual plan for the following year. We look at leads that they currently had, or if they have hopefully there's some type of tracking source, we'll look at that, come up with a plan of attack for that next year. And then I help coordinate and manage. So that might be light. I do light, medium, and kind of get my, you know, I've got guys that work with me as well to make sure that I don't drop the ball on anything. So I've got writers on staff. I've got folks that help with the paid search and things if we need that. But in terms of in-house, my team is more writing and communicating and project management, making sure that things don't fall by the wayside. So we want to make sure it's consistent in that marketing and it's got a good message as well. So they can reach me by my website. It's adavidcreation.com. They can call me. It's area code 301-531-4010. They can also email me, david@adavidcreation.com. And if you listen to this podcast, and I'll give you a free 30-minute phone conversation. Those are usually something I charge for. So if you mention this podcast, then that 30 minutes will be free. And that may just be to pick my brain, maybe learn a little bit more about your business. I can give you some advice and kind of point you in the right direction. If you feel we're a good fit too and you want to talk more, we can do that. But that first 30 minutes kind of is your time to ask me questions and see how we could work together or, again, point you in the right direction.
David, thanks for coming onto the show today. I really appreciate it. Every time I talk to you, I come away with some new knowledge.
Thanks again for having me, Dave, on the show. And I wish you much success on your podcast and your business. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. Well, thanks so much, and you take care. That's it for today's show. If you want to get a copy of my one-page business plan, where you can create a professional business plan in just a few hours, go to theroofershow.com, where you can download it for free. Simply answer the questions, fill in the PDF, and print. Short and sweet. And as always, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.